Lovely to be here so soon after my last visit. And can I take this opportunity to wish you all a peaceful Christmas and a very good New Year? Because you might be asleep by the end of the sermon, you see. So, it was a cold winter's night, and a midwife trudges through the snow. See, topical. Through the snow to a remote house to find a very anxious husband at the door to meet her. His wife's inside, due at any moment to give birth to their first child. Just as it all began to happen, there was a power cut. But the midwife calmed the husband and gave him a torch to hold. "Don't worry," she said. "I've done this lots of times before." Soon, there was a cry, and the midwife was about to show the husband the firstborn when she stopped and said, "Hold on a moment. Yes, it's twins." They were overjoyed. But then the midwife said, "No, hold on. It's triplets." All of a sudden, everything went pitch black. "What's happened?" said the midwife. "I turned it off. I think the light's attracting them." And the light does attract them. Despite the darkness in our world, and the media never miss an opportunity to tell us about it, most people are attracted to the light. They recognise goodness wherever they see it. They appreciate acts of kindness. The light enables them to see how they should behave with mercy and self-giving love. And the greatest light that has ever come into the world is Jesus Christ, our Saviour, whose birth we celebrate as the culmination of Advent. Have you ever thought what it would be like to suddenly be informed that you were going to be the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy? It's a prophecy made for a time when the prophet was speaking, but many years later, imagine if God makes you the fulfillment of that prophecy. How are you going to handle such knowledge? How would you bear up under such an awe-inspiring responsibility? This morning, imagine for a while a room in a cave in Bethlehem where a peasant couple has just witnessed the birth of their first child, accompanied by the noises of surrounding animals, the sweet smell of fresh hay, the flicker of a small oil lamp. The miracle of birth has taken place. Picture the young mother perhaps resting beside the rough feeding trough that serves as the cradle of the newborn child. Look in the shadows and see a young man, a first-time father, standing protectively over his new family. A look of wonder on his face. Look at Mary, a devout Jew. She's heard the mighty prophecy of Isaiah many times. She knew that the longing for a Messiah was a strong hope that dwelt just below the surface of every Jewish heart. She'd heard the sermons preached about this young woman who would bear a son who would fulfill that heart longing. But she never saw herself as that young woman, the woman of Isaiah's vision. Not until God's angel brought the news. And then there were the whisperers. The whispers and the looks as people started counting off the months. The feeling of isolation because of their friends' belief that she'd grossly sinned. and after that was a long journey. The crude shelter of the cattle stall, the birth itself, with no one except her husband to assist her in her deepest hour of need. How could she bear all that and still believe that it was all of God? How would you hold up? How would events affect your faith? Yet that night, in that stable, through that young woman, God came to earth as never before. Look at the young man, Joseph, caring for and standing with a young woman in spite of every argument he had, he could walk away. Look at the baby. This baby is none other than God incarnate. God with us, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace. This is God among us. God so weak he can't turn over by himself. God so freshly born that he cannot communicate in an understandable way with us. God so baby frail that we wonder why he chose this means of joining our human tribe. God once said, let's make a covenant. I'll do my part and you do yours and we'll work together. Well, God kept his part and we didn't keep ours. So God then said, okay, I'll just give you all the rules you need. I'll even engrave them on rock so you won't lose them. But we forgot the rules. We lost the rocks and left God behind. So God, whose love is boundless, beckoned us again to come to him that he might simplify the old covenant by reducing it to two commandments. Love God and love your neighbour. But we didn't even know how to do that. So God said, forget all the old covenant, I've something new in mind. It's harder for me, but it's easier for you. You won't have to come to me anymore, I will come to you. I will come in a way that you will understand. I will come as a baby, entering your world like every person does. I will become bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. I will experience what you experience, feel what you feel, and struggle as you struggle. I will do this for the simple reason that from the beginning when I first created you, I have loved each of you as if you were the only one to love. And I will do whatever is necessary to make you understand how much that love covers. Throughout my time on earth with you, I will show you how to love one another, how to live for building a noble life together, how to keep covenant with me. I will extend forgiveness to you in person, give grace, unending, and sacrifice life itself, that you may know the depth and power of my love. So it was that on that night of nights, God himself came down and entered our world through the miracle of human birth and nestled in a manger. Now, you've sometimes heard and perhaps even used the popular phrase, I couldn't care less. At best, I suppose it's a way of expressing a careless indifference. It's biting the most sarcastic words. It's intending to display an utter disdain and contempt. I couldn't care less. And it popped into my mind when I was trying to have some forms and shape to this sermon, it occurred to me that the exact opposite of the Christian message, what God says to us in the birth of Christ, is, I couldn't care more. God so loved the world, runs the all-time favourite Bible text. God so loves the world, I couldn't care more. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. And he says, I couldn't care more. Comfort my people, says the great poet, prophet of exile. I couldn't care more. God couldn't possibly care more than he does for us. He's totally involved in human life. He's infinitely associated with joys and sorrows, our sins and successes, our heartaches and our hopes. When I say that God is for us, I do not wish to imply that he is for any particular group or any particular denomination or race. He's not on our side against the other side. Back in Bethlehem, he was not for the Jews against the Romans. It was good news for all people. He is for us all. He is all for his children. He works and waits and hopes for all humanity to make the most of itself. As someone puts it, someone up there likes everybody. If God is with us, there is a way to meet whatever problems beset us individually and socially. There is a way to live through grief and loss. There's a way to give children the opportunities that money can't buy. There's a way to serve our lives from pettiness and irrelevance. There's a way to remember the past without remorse and to face a future without fear. We don't worship an unknown God, but a God who is very present in all we do. Life is not without God. He is with us. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And although we do not now fully understand it, we may not even know just why we came to church today. Yet we are attracted by this mysterious, compelling story. The joys of heaven have touched earth in the birth of Jesus. So that love is inextricably bound up in a baby called Jesus. Love come down at Christmas. In that we have the mystery of the Christian faith acted out before us. So let the miracle of Christmas draw us ever deeper into his love as we receive his simple Christmas present of bread and wine.